What?
Ooh, colorblind changes. I'm colorblind.
Are you really?
Yeah.
No, you're not. Shut
like 100%
up.
Colorblind or just
no,
a little bit?
No, red, green.
Maybe that's why you suck at video games.
Yeah.
You're listening to the number one old school RuneScape podcast.
Welcome to Old School RuneScape Weekly. Today is 20 May 2019. I am your host, Nick, and I am joined by Carl.
Hey, guys.
And Joe.
Hello.
All right, so we're going to start off with This Week in Review, where we talk about our achievements and what we've accomplished this week. I'll start it off with Carl. Carl can tell us what he's done.
Well, I wanted to go back to Slayer so I could camp Alchemical Hydra. And after about my 20th task of not getting it, I said, fuck it, and went back to runecrafting. So that's what I'm doing now.
What level runecrafting are you?
91.
91 runecrafting? Okay.
Yeah.
What's like the XP rate for blood runes? Do you know?
Well, I'm not very efficient. Mm-hmm. So for me, probably about 25k an hour.
Casual.
God damn. Yeah. That sucks.
It's super AFK though, so it's pretty worth it.
What about you, Joe? You accomplished anything?
I fished. I've been barbarian fishing on mobile while I lay in bed and cry.
Dude, I love to lay in bed and cry.
Yeah, so
it's my favorite pastime.
There's that. So I've been fishing and I've been working on Slayer. I'm about 7k away from 75 Slayer, so I can do gargoyles.
Oh, nice.
Masturbating over there. You heard that?
That was clapping for you.
I heard it.
Mod Ash tweeted at me the other day. He was telling me about how much he loves our podcast.
Wait, really?
No, he didn't say that. He would never say that if he found out what Joe said about
so,
him.
I was
Wait,
being...
what did Joe say about him?
He's going to come in his mug or something like that.
Yeah, is that remember that... We were talking about
but that's a compliment, though.
That's Lynx Titan gets to do that to him.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So basically, I tweeted at him mentioning something along the lines of, like, I noticed that in the Lunar Teleports, there's a teleport to the Fishing Guild. And I was like, wouldn't it be neat if there was a teleport to the Farming Guild? So I tweeted at him, said that they should pull it. And then he was like, well, there's other ways to get there. And I was like, yeah, well, there's other ways to get to the Fishing Guild, too. So,
like the Fishing Cape.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That, you have Four the skills necklace.
Yeah, just get 99 fishing to get to that Fishing Guild. Yeah.
True.
So, but he actually tweeted back at me, which I thought was pretty cool and interesting because I didn't actually expect him to say anything back to me. So
yeah, no one expects God Ash to respond to him.
I felt pretty special.
He actually responds somewhat often. He's like one of the good mods at doing that, I think, at like actually responding to people when they ask an intelligent question.
Yeah.
What I do this week? I trained my thieving this week. I've been training my woodcutting a bit this week. Been cutting yew logs. It's been some nice.
Hey, don't say the W word around Joe. It'll get him around.
Woodcutting.
Oh, wait. One more thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I finished my Eternal Slayer ring.
Oh, nice.
Yep, so I got the points to make Slayer rings, and then I went out and I bought an Eternal Gem because I'm rich. And
how much are those?
Now I have, they're like 5.6 mil or something, or 6.6 mil.
Okay.
and then I made the ring, so now I have unlimited teleports to almost all the places that you would get a task for.
So it's nice.
That's super useful. Easy and then I tried going for my fire cave. Was not successful. However, I'm going to try again, because I haven't tried since my third attempt. Since you told me that I should chin, because like I have the issue of misclicking, not so much my prayer, but like I misclick the onto the healers, and then so I'll misclick and then I'll start running to wherever I'm actually wherever my character starts running, and then I have to stop my character from running, which causes me to miss a prayer like swap, because I'm not paying attention, and I like. All three times, I, like, insta-died to a ranged hit. Ooh. And, from, like, full health, so.
So, what was I don't know if you watched the same guide as me, but I'm pretty sure that, like, it's something along the lines of Jared is more likely to use ranged attacks than mage attacks.
Watch Mr. Mammal's guide.
Yeah, that's what, I think I'm gonna keep it on ranged, because one, I have noticed he's more likely to use ranged, but the other thing is, I've from watching other people's guides, it looks like the magic attack does more damage anyway, so it seems like you should just always keep it on ranged, because that does more damage and it happens more often. And then
jokes
in the
off chance,
yeah, and it's easier to swap to magic.
Melee.
You have you really?
No, I kind of think to, though.
I'm pretty sure Mr. Mammal did for like. A certain amount of subs or something. Yeah. He did a melee jad, which was pretty impressive.
Do you wear guffins or something and do it, or how does it?
I forgot what he wore, but yeah, that's pretty cool though. Yeah, I mean, jad's hard, right? I've only killed him once, and I had a crutch. I had the rune light add on before they banned it.
I was like looking, and then I was like, no, I got to do it legit.
Wait, what add on?
There was an add on that used to tell you like. What prayer to be on, so yeah. You didn't actually even have to watch or listen to Jed.
Dang, I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, which is why I'm having a hard time killing him a second time, because I had that crutch.
Well, yeah. The sucky part about doing it is it's like an hour and a half long commitment.
Yeah.
And
Wait, it takes you an hour and a half to get to Jed?
Yeah, it takes me like an hour and 20 minutes, I think, to get to Jed.
It takes me like 45 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, I think my fastest was like 35 or 40 minutes.
Dude, it takes me forever. I still have like normally like 10 or 12 prayer pots and like a couple brews and a couple restoration pots by the time that I...
Are you bringing ranging potions?
I bring one ranging potion and I start it from the time that I start fighting the first mage guy is when I take my first sip.
Okay. I'd bring like 4.
You'll get it, buddy. I believe in.
And then, because it'll speed up all the waves.
I will, because I already have so much extra space by the time I get to Jed. I can take up the space. But I think I'm going to try again today after I finish editing the video. I'll try one time before I go to sleep so I can cry again.
So, cry yourself to sleep?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Actually, after this podcast, I have to clean and pack and get ready to go to Tennessee to see my father for the first time in 9 years.
Oh. So,
that should be fun, I guess.
Yeah.
Have fun, buddy.
Tennessee's great. You going to Nashville?
We're going to Pigeon Forge.
I don't know where the fuck that is.
Do they forge pigeons there?
Let's see. I'll look it up, but we can move on.
Okay. Move on into polls, news, and updates. I have it starting off at PvP, but I'll actually start off on the new player experience because I feel like that's more interesting to us.
Yeah, I like new players.
And I do have some worries about this, but I'll kind of explain that after. I'm going to read like the first couple paragraphs of the post so we have an idea what it is, and then we'll get to the changes. But 2018 was a good year for old school RuneScape, but 2019 could be even better if we solve one of our game's trickiest problems, welcoming new players into our healthy and vibrant community. We're sure you remember your first experience of RuneScape, how steep the learning curve can be. We're increasingly seeing that the curve is causing players to drop out before they're able to experience the real magic of the game. And then so on and so forth. Starts going into like more and more detail, which we'll get into. But it's basically bringing up the fact that a lot of people joined when mobile came out. It was an insane amount of people joined, and now they're having the problem of keeping those people playing.
Good old mobile.
Which I think mobile almost kind of got me like back into the game. Not that like I felt like that was what the game needed. It was just like, oh, the game's on mobile. I re-downloaded it and was like, wow, the game's fun.
I think the mobile is thing...
Go ahead,
Joe.
I'll say mobile's like a veteran player's dream. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's good for new people, but like, I would not slay on mobile. I would not just anything that requires you to go long distances. I would not do on mobile, and I can see why it could be an issue for some people. But like, I could stand there and fish on mobile or cut wood for several hours at a time just by sitting in my, you know, watching TV, sitting back in my chair with my phone, and or like fletching or crafting, like very easy things to do on mobile, and is what it's kind of like niches for veteran players at the very least.
What I've been really liking about mobile is thieving. I feel like thieving, like Arty Nights,
it's so much easier on mobile.
Yeah, it's so much easier on mobile. Because like your thumbs get a lot less tired than your index fingers do. So like I was kind of just like sitting there. I was watching a movie with Sarah yesterday, and I was literally just sitting there like tapping on my thumb, and I'd look down to see, you know, if the knight had moved or if like I, you know, to like put the coins away. But yeah, I was kind of just watching a movie with Sarah and like pushing down with my thumbs.
OP. Yeah. I remember when I applied for the iOS beta for mobile.
Oh yeah,
I didn't get it, so I went to the Verizon store and bought an Android. Like that same day.
It was good. That was what sort of got me back into things, was just I saw that I'd like gotten into it, downloaded it, and I was having a ton of fun.
Hell yeah.
Mobile is good. Good addition.
I thought that their ideas for new players were pretty cool, but my issue is I feel like they won't pass a poll. So here's one of them was... one way we could tackle the issue of, and this is talking about the issue of people getting around the map, because being as a new player, you know, like when you don't actually know like the fastest way to get to Varrock, like we all TP now, but that's like such an annoying thing whenever you're like, you're a new player, like walking all the way to Varrock or Falador or whatever. So he says,
dude, just don't suck.
One way we could tackle this issue could be to introduce a new transport system that's accessible only for the first few hours of the RuneScape journey. It could connect major towns and cities in the free-to-play area and could work similarly to the Magic Carpet system. By similarly, we mean that you see the route that your player is taking. A big benefit of this is the players will get to see and learn the routes they will be taking unaided in the future, allowing them to better prepare themselves when the time comes.
Was it like if they get over like a certain total level, they're no longer allowed to use like the beginner?
No, it's like within the first few hours of playing the game.
Yeah, you have like a couple hours to use those features.
Honestly, to some extent, I don't see the very big deal with doing a carpet ride that's just constantly something that you pay 100 GP for. I don't think that it would pass a poll, but I don't really see the big deal with that.
I am actually like pretty okay with them doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything that gets like new players in and continuing to play the game. Because I think one thing that I kind of miss about RuneScape is like, I feel like how I play the game now is not at all how I played it like 12 years ago. Like 12 years ago, it was was like about having like fun and stuff and like doing dumb stuff and like going to the Falador party room. And
Now it's all about grinding and getting 99s.
Like when I escape. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like when I get on, I'm like, I'm trying to play as efficiently as possible or AFKing as much as possible so I can work on something else.
Yep.
While I'm playing. So... I do like the addition of, and I feel like most other players are like that too. Like you very rarely see people like, you know, going and planting flowers in the GE and following each other around in a giant circle. Like sometimes you see it, but not nearly as much as it used to be.
So my thought was, so, you know, one of the big things that keeps people playing, like games in general, right? So what is a game that we loathe entirely, but we play because some other friends play it?
League of Legends,
right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with me for World of Warcraft, right? I can't fucking stand World of Warcraft in its current state. but I still play because I'm in a guild with hundreds of people that I could talk to and have fun with. So when they implement that new clan system, they should be able to make it to where you can list yourself as like a noob friendly clan. And so when all these new people start joining the game, they could be directed towards something that said, hey, here's some friendly clans that you can join to learn more about the game and stuff. And they can make friendships while in those clans, and it will have a lasting effect and make them play the game longer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that might be a good idea. That's something that World of Warcraft does. There's actually new player servers, mm-hmm. and there are guilds on those servers that take in all new players to teach them how to play the game.
That's actually, yeah, I think that's a really good idea. I think maybe RuneScape should also do something like maybe making like an official RuneScape like Discord or something where like these people could like go in and like talk to other people. I don't know, but
like ask questions about the games.
Yeah, where there's like no stupid questions, you know, where you can come in and we're not going to tell you to Google it, you know. I mean, I wouldn't mind even making our clan, whenever they finally add that system, something along those lines of like, if you're a new player and you're too afraid to ask for help, you can come in and, we'll help you out.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we can't give you free, we'll definitely direct you to the right direction.
Yeah.
We won't give you free stuff, but we'll show you, we'll teach you how to play the game.
Yeah.
And not only that, like, same thing, like our Discord and stuff like that. Like, people can already come in. But that would be nice. That would be a nice way to get like a good amount of people into our clan and help out a lot of people. Because I think that all of us want more people to play this game.
For sure.
Yeah. And then another thing that they had, additionally in a recent live stream, we spoke about the possibility of making agility available to free-to-play players. The response to the idea was very positive and would like to explore this in more detail. Essentially, the point of them doing that is to, you know, help free-to-play players with running around. And how they would do it is there would be a low-level agility course added into a free-to-play area. I'm assuming something like, I guess there's already an Alcarid agility training area, but maybe something like a Lumbridge training area.
Ooh, that'd be neat. Because they got like the they can like do a one around the wall and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the castle wall. You know how?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
around the castle walls are like the you know, you have the castle, and then around the castle are is that big ass wall. Mm-hmm. You can just do one on that wall there.
It could also be the Lumbridge Swamp is like another area too. But yeah, just like in that beginning area. I mean, is there a Drainer Village one? I can't remember.
Yeah. It's level, okay. That's the level 10 one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, even that would work.
What they need to do is they need to add a level 1 to 10 one, because initially when you start doing agility, you have to go all the way the fuck out to the gnome stronghold. And that is a complete pain in the ass. Because I remember doing that on my Iron Man just so I could try to get some agility levels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was a pain in the fucking ass. And they could fill that gap by adding that free-to-play course in Lumbridge or something.
All right.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
All right. So here's... I'll read the next paragraph. So to go on to the next... It's talking about getting started. So I'm assuming that this is talking about Tutorial Island, which... As much nostalgia as all of us have for it, I think at least us can agree that it probably needs to be completely changed, because that shit does not work on a mobile phone.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. The beauty of old school RuneScape comes to the freedom that our players enjoy. From the moment you leave Tutorial Island and arrive on mainland, you're free to do whatever you want and explore anywhere you please. The flip side of this is that it can be quite overwhelming. We want to help players set goals for themselves by introducing early objectives to get them started. Our ideas include helping new players train their combat stats by offering useful equipment as a reward for achieving minor milestones. I think that that's a good idea. I'm assuming what they mean is like, maybe you kill a goblin or something, and you get
to wear goblin mail.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That'd I'm for that.
I think for like the longest time, whenever I was a new player, I was trying to wear goblin mail.
I think everybody was. There's probably a meme out there for that.
Probably.
Oh, there's definitely a meme.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming what they mean by this is, like, maybe you kill a goblin and it drops, like, full rune or something. If it's, like, your first time kill... Not full rune, sorry. full... full iron or something like that for your person to wear.
Yeah. Or it's like, hey, here's an objective for you. Go and do Cook's Assistant.
Yeah.
Right? Follow through the quest line, and then you get... Basically, they need... to throw those low-level quests out there earlier and guide people to those quests because, I mean, even you go through Tutorial Island, if you're just trying to get into the game, like, how many people actually read the shit? You know what I'm saying?
Nobody.
I'm going to sit there and tap that stuff, and then I get into the mainland, and then I see that little star thing, and I have no idea what that is. I can't hover over it over the mini-map for it to tell me what it is. I had to have had read the tutorial. So there should be a thing like when you start like, hey, go do this quest and this is what a quest is. And I mean, the tutorial shouldn't end after you leave that island. If you're a new player, you should be able to opt out of like those little tool tips to walk you through the first couple quests and stuff. Like obviously, right. If I make a new Iron Man or a hardcore, I don't want to have to be walked through all that shit. But as a new player, that's something that they might need to do because nobody really like reads the tutorial and all that stuff. So
yep, true.
Next bullet is explaining what the purpose of training the combat skills is and how they can do so. I mean, I would assume that most of that is like
bossing.
You know, it might be interesting adding like a low level boss that new players can fight, and maybe like your first time killing it, it gives something that's like good for to new players. Maybe like an untradeable item that like a new player that would be like really useful to a new player, like a helmet or something like that. But I don't know. There's just so much like there's so much possibility for like something like that to be abused.
A level 20 mutated cow.
Yeah, exactly. A level 20 mutated cow. Perfect. Yep. And you kill it and you get a cow head. And when you wear get that a cow dog, head.
You can get a dog pet, except it's gay. So you get a gay dog pet. Hell yeah.
How do you know that it's gay?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it is gay though. You have to make sure like its name is Gay Dog Pet.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, maybe a low level boss that you can fight one time would be a cool thing. I don't know. I don't think new players really like quests. Like I feel like I only have ever done quests in order to do something that I want to do or get something that I want to get.
Well, like if I would have known when I was a kid that questing was something that could like raise my skills up from a low level, like if you, it's something, if you do waterfall quests, right. And you can do waterfall quests like immediately, like you make your character. If you go and get some food, you can go do waterfall quests. Waterfall quest will give you like 31 attack and strength or something like that.
I'm ridiculous.
You know how many hours that saves you?
Yeah.
You know at what least I'm 1 hour.
It's like that's at least an hour and a half of time that you're not having to spend sitting there killing cows or doing other dumb shit. Those are free combat levels that nobody knows that you can do unless you're a veteran player. Now, obviously, I don't want to sit there and advertise, hey, go do this quest, you get free levels, but I mean, it could always be like a suggestion, like, oh, we suggest you go do waterfall quest, you'll get X amount of XP for doing it, so.
Yeah, I think maybe having a better idea of, like, they should build and when you go to quests, it's all in alphabetical order, they should make, like, here's our recommended, you do these quests in this order. It's like a new player is not going to know what's quest optimal. Lines. Yeah, or quest lines. Exactly.
Like, so, yeah, I was thinking about that too. So, like, the Cook's Assistant quest, obviously, is like a breadcrumb quest to Recipe for Disaster. So, after you do Cook's Assistant, it'll pull up Recipe for Disaster. But when you click on Recipe for Disaster, it should be very clear what all you need to do Recipe for Disaster. Like, hey, this is the Cook's Quest line. This is all the different stuff that you need to get done for it. And these are the things that you have all the requirements to do. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be something you have to go in and have to manually check to see if you have it. It should be highlighted a different color to tell you that, hey, you have all the requirements for this quest, because it's kind of a pain.
That, or maybe like if it requires you to get an item, like you need a chef's hat. Okay, the only way you're going to know how to get a chef's hat as a completely new player is you walk all over the place and find one, or you Google it. But like, there should be like a, you know, like hover over chef's hat. You can find a chef's hat in wherever.
Yeah. I mean, for like basic items, I understand that. That makes a lot of sense.
For like the basic, maybe just the free to play quests. I don't know, but doing something like that for the easy quests, I think is a good start.
For sure.
All right. Next one is preparing the player for adventuring and fighting beyond the minor millstones. I think we've kind of like talked about that. Demonstrating the value of membership to new players. I feel like
extremely valuable.
I guess that's extremely valuable, but I feel like the game kind of does that itself. Like, I've been a member for so long, but I still remember like whenever I was young, and I probably for like 2 years didn't have membership. Yeah. And like, you would go up to a gate or something like that, and it would tell you, like, you would see what's beyond the gate, and you'd be like, man, I really want to do that. Mm-hmm. But like, you can't, you know, it would tell you.
You're not a member.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like you just sort of naturally run into like, okay, I can't do these things.
Yeah, well, it's also bad whenever you get membership and then it runs out, and then you're just like, I almost don't feel like I can play without membership.
Yep. Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
So once you like get membership and you start training those member skills and you get like a taste, and on top of that, like I'm gonna lose my membership in 2 days because my bond's gonna run out. I will not be able to deposit anything into my bank because I'm a free to play member. I'm a free to play. I don't have enough space in my bank. That's some stupid shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
dude, Joe, let me hit you up with a bond, buddy.
Dude,
I totally forgot.
I got you. I can't have my friends not play the game.
Yeah.
I got you.
We'll give you a bond. We'll have it trending on Twitter. Hashtag get.
We're just gonna start up a Kickstarter for you.
Yeah, call it Joe Bond.
A GoFundMe for Joe Bond, please.
Yeah. But perhaps most importantly, we don't want to do anything that might ruin the nostalgic early experience. These changes are all about helping new players find their feet in old school RuneScape, and not about altering the iconic beginning of the game. And I think it's obvious that what they're talking about there is Tutorial Island. And I hate people that are stupid butthurt nerds that don't want to get rid of Tutorial Island.
I wouldn't get rid of
it. I mean, not getting rid of it. Sorry, maybe I misspoke there. I don't want to get rid of it. No part of me does. But
maybe devalue it a little bit. It's not as good as people think it is.
Honestly, just because you said that, I'm going to make a new account right now just to play through the Tutorial Island.
I played through it recently, and it was so annoying, and I don't know.
You can get through it in like 10 minutes, man.
Yeah, no. You can get through it. But like, just to as like a new player, I don't know. Maybe I am completely wrong. I just remember it being annoying the last time I played through it.
And I still think it's annoying that you have to go through it if you want to make an Iron Man. Like, if you're going to make an Iron Man, you probably know what you're doing. And like, so imagine every time you die in a hardcore. There should be an option to where if you die on a hardcore, you should be able to reset your account from the beginning.
That's true too. Yeah,
because it's not like it's taking anything out of the game, right? Because you can't trade it anyway. Mm-hmm. It's not. So like, if I'm playing my hardcore Iron Man and I lag out killing a rat and I forget and I don't eat and I die, well, now there's an account. Yeah, but you know, there's an account that's made that's never going to be touched again, and now I have to go all the way back through Tutorial Island.
Yeah.
You should just be able to reset at like before a certain total level, just reset the account back to like completely a fresh new account and everything. So that way it's saving accounts made, saving your name, all that other stuff. Especially if like say I bought membership and then fucking died.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God.
That would tilt me off the face of the planet.
And then it's like a quick thing that I never really thought of it this way. I was watching somebody's video and they said this and I was like, you know what? That's right. I should have done that. Was when you're making an Ironman, you should just always make it a hardcore Ironman, because it'll automatically change to an Ironman if you die. And it's just kind of cool to see like how long you can go without dying. You know, you don't have to like actually treat it as like a real hardcore Ironman.
Yeah.
You'd actually be surprised. Like if you make a hardcore and you like grind out like 99 agility, you'd be ranked like 100 in agility. Yeah. So I thought about it because, you know, I love pain.
What's your favorite skill, agility? You want to get 99 agility again?
My only issue with having an Ironman is I don't want to pay for two memberships. So that's kind of...
Yeah.
So. Alrighty. New players. What's next?
What's next? Keeping new players engaged. Oh, that's just them talking about... their things, but we can move on from our promise and move on into the next thing. And I'm thinking we can go right into the state of PvP. And just as like a quick thing, we're probably going to go through this quickly because none of us really do PvP.
Right.
So we have only like a base level knowledge of these PvP changes. And I can only really talk from it from the perspective of like how the general population feels about about most of these changes.
Right.
And then if you know exactly how a change affects things, you can certainly speak up. But first big, so well, the point of these PvP changes is, I guess, they're noticing that, I guess PvP has gone mostly unchecked, uncared for a long period of time now. And a lot of people are quitting, and the amount of people who PvP is going is becoming less and less and less. And so they're trying to implement changes to balance things, to create a higher skill cap. And all of these changes are going to be pulled. So none of these have come into effect yet. They're just sort of ideas. So we'll start off with the proposed PvP integrity changes. The first one is increase the GP drop when a max cape is PK'd. The current GP dropped when a person with max cape is PK'd is very minimal, 11,880 in deep wilderness and zero when not, despite the cost of the cape being worth over 2.2 mil. The proposed change is to increase the GP of the max cape when PK'd to be more in line with the value of it, regardless of the level of the wilderness the player is in upon death. This change will be 25% of the max cape's purchase value, which I'm assuming is like 500,000 coins, right? Yeah.
I have no idea, is it?
Yeah, it's about 500, like 20,000 coins, something like that.
Okay.
So, I think you recently died with a cape, some kind of cape. What'd you die with?
I died with a fire cape in deep wilderness.
Oof. It drops like a lot.
One of my six fire capes, no big deal.
I think that's a good change. I don't know. Yeah, I guess you should really be. If you kill somebody with a max cape and deep wilderness, you should be rewarded with more than 11,880 coins.
I think to be fair, like, if I had a max cape, I probably, and I was still playing the game, I probably would decide and explore the PvP section of the game, because right now, currently, I'm not very big on PvP. Mm-hmm. But if I was maxed, you know, I would probably try it out.
Well, yeah, that's like the only other thing other than making an ultimate Iron Man, an Iron Man, or a hardcore Iron Man.
An ultimate Iron Man that's locked to the Varrock bank. Something like that. Yeah. You just don't play the game.
I was thinking like a really crazy landlocked one where like you're landlocked to like some ridiculously small place. But
Alcarid.
Yeah, Alcarid or something. Yeah, you just have that mining area.
There is one area. Already, though.
Oh, is there? Is? Okay. Yeah. I've been really liking this one, guys. The Karamja only Ultimate Iron Man. I actually like that one more than Swampletics.
Could you imagine how annoying being locked to the desert area would be?
Oh god.
Having
to refill your water skins.
Imagine an Ultimate Iron Man locked to the desert.
Oh no.
Oh god. You have to have like 5 water skins, pretty like 5 spots just dedicated to water skins. But all right, we're getting off topic.
Yeah.
So I mean, I understand. Like, that's fine. Adding like, I don't necessarily not like PvP. It's just that I'm so bad at it that it's always a loss for me. Like, yeah. I understand people that PvP who can go in and get like, for every 3 kills they get, they die once. That's still a profit for them. But every time that I would go into PvP and I die instantly by rushers or people just coming out of the blue, it's very toxic.
Yep.
You know, it's like I'm just out there trying to do a clue, and then you have a whole group of people coming and fucking wreck your asshole.
There's a huge difference between PvP and PKing. PKing, in my opinion, is pure toxicity.
Well, PKing,
because it's one-sided.
I agree, PKing is complete toxicity. However, I feel like it's too much of a staple of it. Like, I feel like it kind of needs to be there. Like, part of the wilderness is just that part. Like, I've been killed numerous times. I've had, like, people while I'm getting black salamanders try to kill me. And it's like, why, you know, why do that? But
well, I mean, they could just do, like, we're talking about PKing as in, like, teams of people, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm talking like if I'm out walking trying to do something, I have 7 people log in on top of each other.
Yeah.
I feel like for every time someone hits you with something, every tag someone has on you, you drop like one less item every single time. I mean, it would make it somewhat fair because you're by yourself. Like, at that point, it comes down to luck. Right, like, oh, you caught me out here by myself. Yeah, you know, good on you. But I don't, you know, not everybody has 30 friends they can log in on one spot with to fucking wreck people in the asshole. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Just
This is the main reason I lost in Dead Man mode, because it's literally just clan based.
Yeah,
there's no toxic solo playing. It's completely toxic.
But I'm not going to bash on it. It's part of the game, so.
That's what people I'm saying. Like PvP, so. I agree that it sucks, and it's an annoying thing, but I feel like it's such a staple of the game. Like, you know, okay, I'm going to wilderness. Like, I have to wear less gear. Like, I could die at any point. You know, like, you have to go there prepared, and that's just, like, part of playing the game and being in the wilderness. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
I've lost, like, 30 spades in the wilderness. You know,
Yeah, like, I had a guy, I was at Black Salamanders, I think it was, like, a week ago, and he was just being a total degenerate. Was, like, I would world hop and then, like, go back there to train, and then he would just, like, start training to kill me, and I was like, okay, well, this sucks.
Dude, get wrecked. He got you good, buddy.
Yeah, he got me so good. I ended up just, like, switching and I think, like, wood cutting for an hour and then going back there, and he never showed back up.
Yeah, I would have just took one of those ropes in your inventory and hung myself.
I thought about it. But I kept having to set up the traps and, like, run away.
Why are you running?
Why
are you running?
Alright, next one is allowing players to use looting bags in PvP worlds. Essentially, in the PvP worlds, you'll be able to use a looting bag, but they haven't listed the restrictions yet. But they'll set some restrictions in the future so that it's not abused. And I think that's mostly a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, because that looting bag is like a second inventory slot. So it would make PvP more prevalent for people who don't like PvP, because it would, if you could do it with like a second inventory bag, then it might pay off for you. But on the other hand, it would pay off for PKers too.
Risking more too. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, that's pretty cool.
Is there an Ultimate Iron Man that's locked to PvP worlds?
Oh, that would be fucking nuts.
That would be. Imagine a hardcore Iron Man.
A hardcore locked to PvP world. Ooh.
That's the That'd real. Cool. That would actually be really cool, like having that as like an actual character mode, like a PvP world hardcore. Basically, streamers would never be able to play on their account.
Nope. They would always just get stream sniped.
Yeah. Making Teleblock free to play to encourage more people to try out PKing at free to play. We want to allow them to access to the Teleblock spell, as it is a key component in PKing. As such, the spell will become free to play.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't. I mean,
if people want to PK in full rune, go right ahead. Whatever makes you feel better and sleep well at night.
Swap from Mystic to go to Mystic Teleblock. Swap to full rune.
Full rune.
Mystic's free to play, right? I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
There are some things that are free to play that you can't even like get to drop in free to play. So. Mm.
Yep.
It's like you have to buy them.
Like a rune skimmy.
Yep.
And then there's some changes that they're making for colorblind people. So colorblind shade changes for player health bars and mini-map dots. This will allow colorblind players to see player health bars and mini-map dots more easily.
What kind of stupid idiot can't see colors?
I'll say, I actually have the difficulty telling between the green and the yellow dots sometimes. Hold on.
You see the two images with the King Black Dragon?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference in both of those? I don't see a difference.
I'm trying to see. I mean, maybe it's something only...
It's a little darker.
Yeah, it's a little darker. Yeah, the shading's a little darker.
Huh. Can you tell... Can you see the difference there, Nick? Because I know you're red-green colorblind, so... I don't know if you're able to see that as well as I can.
Oh.
I feel like the lighter one... Or like the brighter green is easier to see than darker.
Yeah, I agree.
But they said, so the first one is the one on the left. That's the current one, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one looks like it'd be easier to tell the difference between. Maybe, well, I wouldn't know. I'm not colorblind, so.
I don't know. The link for this one will be in the description. So you
can go yeah,
because they were talking about colors and you can't see the colors.
We need some of professional eyes from our audience.
There's more changes there, but I don't think they really matter all that much. Goes into inboxes. I don't know anything about those.
Same.
Next all one right. is proposed PvP changes to be pulled. Next one is Wilderness Slayer keys.
I like this. This sounds like a good idea.
Similar to Konar Slayer, when doing Wilderness Slayer tests, you will have a chance at getting a key that will allow you to open a chest located somewhere in the wilderness for loot. So I guess what they're trying to do is add in more PvP... So make PKing and PvP better, and then add in more things to make you to want to go into the wilderness to get PK'd.
Yep. I mean, when I max, if I max, I'll probably be more inclined to actually do Wilderness Slayer.
You're going to max. Come on.
You think so?
Well, yeah. If the only skill you have left that's actually hard is probably going to be agility. I mean, if I can do agility.
I think Hunter will be my last 99, that skill. Yeah. Hunter's my least favorite skill for...
Yeah, but you can do, like, herbivores and get that. Ooh, dude, somebody... Hell yeah, give me that shit, idiots. Give me that.
What?
I love doing Slayer and people drop in not picking up their stuff. This guy dropped, he didn't pick up his loop half of a key, so I picked it up. I was like, hell yeah, give me that shit, idiot.
Alright,
yeah.
Like
10K. I don't know, I'm gonna max. I mean, that's obviously the end goal, right?
Yeah.
But if I can do 99 agility, I can do anything, so.
True.
Next one is clearing teleblocking when a teleblocked player dies. So again, going back into that, like, making somebody want to go into the wilderness more. So, like, making people want to PK people and PvP more. So I guess just having more people in the wilderness is what they want to do.
Wait, so it's saying if someone teleblocks you, and that person that teleblocks you dies, the teleblock is...
No, so you used to, when you Or no, yeah, sorry. You're right, yeah.
If I'm fighting somebody and they teleblock me and I kill them, but they have a couple friends there, I can teleport immediately after they die.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It makes sense, but what happens if, you know, I mean, the other people are going to have teleblock as well. So it's going to be kind of, there needs to be like a cooldown on it where like, oh, you can't teleblock that person.
For 5 seconds. They were
just teleblocked like 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because okay. All that's going to happen is people are going to get used to that. And as soon as you kill their friend that teleblocked you, you're just going to get teleblocked again. So it's going to be, it's kind of going to be pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right, moving on into proposed PvP to be discussed changes. There's an idea of nerfing. So this is probably the big one. This is the one, I think the day that this post came out, I saw like literally hundreds of Reddit meme posts of like ripped Granite Maul. But essentially what it is they're changing Granite Maul from using 50% of your special attack to 60%. So you can't do like an immediate like two-hit special attack Granite Maul hit like you used to be able to. I feel like that's going to end it.
That's not going to pull, though. That's not going to pass.
Yeah, I don't think
pass.
Like, even as a non-PvPer, I wouldn't vote to pass that. That's stupid.
Yeah, I think that's stupid. That's a staple item.
There are accounts built around the Granite Maul that people spent hours and hours building. There's no way that that's going to pass.
Do you think you could see him trying to do it without pulling it? I don't know.
Hell no.
Not in my old school RuneScape.
Not my old school.
They didn't pull the Urania changes. They could say something like, we didn't originally intend when we put out this item back in 2003
To be fair, they also waited way too long to nerf the Urania altar. They should have done that immediately.
Yeah.
They waited 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, they... If they did do it without pulling it, people would have... There'd be a humongous outcry.
There'd be another Falador massacre. Yeah.
Mod Jed would come back.
And hack everybody.
Yeah, and hack everybody.
He would reverse hack everybody and just give everybody money.
Yeah, he'd give everybody a Granite Maul for free.
Nice.
Alright. A new wine of Zamorak spawn and Deep Wildy. Again, going into the, I guess, making people want to go into the wilderness more. Have you guys ever had to do the wilderness task? I think it's a wilderness task, or it might be a Falador task, where you have to do the telegrab of a wine of Zamorak.
Well, I mean, Carl has.
That's a wilderness task.
It's a wilderness task? I had the hardest problem getting it when a bot wasn't like... Because if you world hop, there's always like constantly a bot that's like hopping worlds and telegrabbing a wines of Zamorak. Yeah. Because they go and they collect them up and then they sell them all. But
yeah.
We don't really need to talk about dead, man. That ain't our cup of tea.
Yeah. No. And we've already talked, I guess, a little bit about the Avernic Defender. They're just changing it so that it drops less money when you die. And then reducing the stats of Black Dehyde, which I think is stupid and is not going to ever pass the poll.
Actually, I'm not even seeing the thing we were just talking about you gotta click telegrab.
The click here to propose. Click here for proposed PvP to be discussed changes. Yeah. It's that black tab there.
They were just talking about new Wine of Zamorak spawn and the Deep Wildy, so they were just going to add another Wine of Zamorak spawning point, but in the deep wilderness of the Chaos Temple. Or there is one located in the Chaos Temple. They're going to put one in the Deep Wilderness. Sorry.
I just thought it was a wilderness task. I don't see it, though.
I think it's a Falador medium diary
could
task.
Be Falador. Yeah. Probably right. You know, I should know because I've done all of it. I guess it didn't matter that much to me because I forgot.
Moving on. Do you guys... So we're moving on into the farming improvements and rebalancing existing content. Have you guys used the seed vault yet? I know Joe really likes farming, but I don't know if you've gotten a chance.
For the longest time, my bank was maxed 816 out of 816.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the seed vault came out, I withdrew every single seed in my bank and freed up like 50 slots in my bank.
I need to do that. I'm very close to 816.
Yep. Best update.
Dev, so you haven't gotten a chance to use it, Joe?
No, I haven't used it.
Well, it's exactly what it sounds like. It basically just frees up all the bank spaces where you would have saplings and seeds and all that other stuff taking up bank space. You can throw it all in this seed vault, which is very useful. But now they made some changes to it so it acts more like a bank. They added the placeholders, so you know it'll say like 0 of whatever the seed or sapling is if you don't have any in there, and you don't have to keep rearranging your items if you're used to it always being in a certain place. And now you can search the seed vault, which I don't know why that wasn't there on release, but yeah, you can now search the seed vault for seeds.
Hell yes. I mean, I like good that. Stuff. I like for that change. But I honestly haven't been far. I've been slacking on my farming runs. I hit 80 and I was just like, yeah, it's good enough.
True. It's good
enough. I think I'm sitting at like 63 farming or something right now. I do need to work on that more. Some tree runs will speed that up fast.
Yep.
Moving on to the next one, farming improvements. I think we talked about this in a couple episodes, these changes when they were originally pulled. But one of them is they updated the nature amulet to show the growth state. So it'll show you like the 1 out of 5, 1 out of 8, 7 out of 8, whatever like cycle you are on of the tree, plant, allotment. I don't care.
Yeah. I know they were talking about how you could like right click examine a patch and it would tell you the state. Is that still a thing, or did they get rid of that?
I don't... Yes, that's still inspect. A thing. Yeah, it's inspect. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. That devalues the geomancy spell.
I agree with that, kind of, but not really when, like, Runelite and OS Buddy already like
that's
tell
true.
You when the yeah. patches are up. Like these kind of changes were just inevitable because there's already a tool that tells you
well,
everything.
Jokes on you! I'm making an old school RuneScape client locked Ultimate Iron Man, so I can only use the default client.
Dude, like Bodhi?
Wait, is that what he does?
Bodhi doesn't use third party clients. He just
he used to use third party. Why did he stop?
That's I don't weird. Know. Because he's a hipster.
Yeah.
Got to keep it real, I guess.
And then they made it so that the garden, the tool leprechauns can hold more tools. I think that's pretty useful. I think before, it could only hold like one of certain tools.
It could only hold one of every tool.
Yeah. And now it can hold 100. I think that's...
That's all right.
That's all right. Yeah. I've never really had a space problem with my farming runs, but I also don't do herb runs, so.
I'm going to start doing them soon since I did the, Edgar's Ruse, so I can finally get that other diseaseless herb patch.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
So.
And then they have some rebalancing changes, the RCS library, which I absolutely hate navigating for tasks. The RCS library was never intended to be an efficient method for training runecrafting. We've increasingly seen players take books and bank them to be used at a later time for XP rates that are faster than training the skill as intended. We have now changed this so that you can no longer be able to store the books found within the RCS library within the bank or send them to your bank via magic imp box. Again, like them,
stupid.
Like allowing something to stay for a long period of time. Obviously this hasn't been around for as long as Urania, but still, allow something to stay for a long period of time and then
decide that it's not a good
so thing. No. What you're not seeing is the Reddit post of the guy who has been doing this for months.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has been collecting these books for months for the XP. And what you didn't read is that if you have extra copies in their bank, they're getting rid of them.
That's stupid. It's beyond stupid. I keep hating these changes, but like, hey, this thing has been going on not how we wanted to for a year.
We decided that it's too OP, and we're not even going to tell anyone. We're just going
to. It actually comes out to just a regular XP rate, like of like 30k an hour.
Yeah.
Because of all the time he spent getting all those books, the books he's collected, the books that are sitting in his bank, they are removing from the game. So he only has one book. So all that time he spent getting that, trying to get a good amount of XP, is just gone now. Because before they make this change, he wouldn't have enough time to go through and use all the books that he has.
Dang.
So it's kind of shitty.
Good thing that didn't happen to me.
Moving on into underwater activity. Fossil Island was pulled alongside the following development blog that included various XP rates for underwater activity. The XP currently gained via the Fossil Island underwater activity was slightly higher than the polls rates after the January 2018 Fossil Island improvement updates. As such, agility and thieving XP awarded in the Fossil Island underwater activity have been reduced by 10%. So basically, nobody's going to go there anymore, and you changed something again after a year.
I actually never used that, and now I probably
will. Yeah, I never used that. Now, I never will.
Speaking of underwater activity, though, they should add a boss where you have to fight it underwater. I think that would be pretty cool.
That would be sick.
Yeah. The Loch Ness Monster.
Like, yes, the Loch Ness Monster. That would be good.
You remember that quest where you had to sail the boat? You know what I'm talking about? That new quest?
Yep. Fuck that quest.
That was so stupid. That sucked.
They couldn't add sailing as a skills quest.
They snuck it in.
Yep. Sneaky sneak.
If that's how sailing was going to be, I'm actually kind of glad that it didn't pass.
I don't think it was. I'm just
kidding. Yeah, no. I don't think so either. But if for whatever reason that's how they would wanted to do it, yikes.
Yeah. Yike. That's going to be a yike for me.
When farming contracts were first designed, they rewarded you with seeds based on whether you chose an easy, medium, or hard contract. It did not take into account how long the contract would take to complete. This meant you could do an easy contract that took 8 hours to grow, but you were rewarded with less than doing a hard contract that took only 80 minutes to complete. As part of the discussion in January, farming contract awards have now been rebalanced to scale more consistently with the effort required to fulfill the contracts. I agree with this.
I didn't even know about that.
Have you done any farming contracts?
I only always pick hard for some reason. I didn't even like read into it. Like, oh, what kind of contracts to easy give? No, I, for whatever reason, subconsciously just pick hard every time, expecting that it would make sense that you would get better rewards and it would be more difficult. But I mean, I would get stupid things like grow some watermelons. Like, what? That takes like 5 minutes. So, I don't know.
I thought that was a good change.
Yeah.
And I like farming contracts. I'm glad they added them in. I thought that was a really good idea.
I really like the Hespori boss.
Yes, that was also a really cool thing.
Still no farming pet, but you know, never lucky.
Why should I have a Hespori seed?
And then we're moving on into the big sad of today. Or the, not really today. Oh.
Big happy.
This week, the big happy.
The big.
A message from Mod Matt K. Essentially, Mod Matt K, after 15 years of working for Jagex, and I'm not sure that he was
14
one of the,
years.
I'm 90% sure that he was one of the first original, like, two mods that OSRS was given, but I can't remember. But he definitely has been with Old School RuneScape since, like, 2014, so long time. And, he's leaving. My prediction, I bet he's going, Joe might know a little bit more about this than I do, but I feel like he might get hired by Blizzard to work on that, like, new World of Warcraft, classic or whatever it's being called.
Ooh.
You don't think that they would do that?
Nah, because he's got a family and everything, and he would have to pretty much relocate to, Los Angeles. From what I'm seeing, he is working his other job while also using his fame as being a J-Mod to be a full-time RuneScape streamer.
Oh, okay.
That's from what I've seen so far.
That's probably a good idea. I was just thinking, like, with them doing that, it might be smarter than to hire, like, somebody who has, like, in theory, job experience from bringing a, I guess, an older version of an MMO back to current day and having it be successful. But it does make sense, like, having his whole entire family relocate to LA is a big change.
It's kind of a lot. I mean, I would understand maybe if Blizzard would be giving him like a fatty bonus, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there's a possibility because he's definitely like one of the two most beloved mods, like him and Ash.
Maxed account.
Yeah, free maxed account. Let's see. But yeah, it's sad to see not Matt K go, even though he white knighted Emily.
He's moving to bigger and better things. Oh yeah, and he white knighted Emily.
I actually don't even care about his white knighting Emily. Even though I don't actually, I don't even think that he white knighted Emily. I don't know if you both know like the full, I kind of remember.
You told me
it.
About it briefly, but
yeah. Essentially what happened was, this was like back in 2014, but she had set up a duel, with another guy for 200 mil. And it was real world trading. And I guess somehow the guy that she was doing it with, said some things about her, and then also, made it, come to light that, it was like essentially real world trading. Like she had set up this guy to lose the 200 mil stake with her. And, she got to keep. And so they asked Mod Matt K what he was going to do, like the other mods. And he essentially, they gave her a 2-week ban, and, she didn't get anything, the money taken away from her.
The 200 mil. Lit.
Yeah. So, but I think his reasoning was like, that's what they do for a normal player in that situation, was like why he did that. So I don't know if that's what they normally do for somebody that does that. That's crazy to me. But anyway, I do like Mod Matt Kick. He's fucking hilarious. And then when everybody started saying when he like White Knights Emily, he did all these hilarious memes around it, like in streams and stuff like that. They would ask him who his favorite streamer was, and he'd say Emily is pro. He'd like play along with the meme that he White Knighted her.
Hello.
All right. Moving on into our next bit, forum and community submissions. I think that this is going to be our longest podcast, unless somehow we get through this in like 10 minutes. I don't think that that's going to happen. Number one is new player experience ideas. So essentially what this is just like a graphic that somebody made on Reddit about a week ago that... I'll read the post, which better explains it. NPCs for each town offering advice on what the player can do nearby, including quests, skills, and offering random jobs to complete. Essentially giving new players ideas on what they can do without being overbearing or requiring help from veterans or the wiki. And I think that was kind of what we talked about, just like a better, and kind of what Jagex wants to do, just like a better idea of like what quests they should do next or what skill they should train next or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good idea. Like, you know, you're in Lumbridge and there's a guy there at the front that's like, oh, you should go do the cook's assistant or you should go do sheep shearer. You know, you might want to prepare yourself by getting some shears and cutting some sheep so you can finish the quest in 10 seconds.
Everything you need will be in the description below.
There should be an NPC that directs everyone to go to Slayer Music's guide.
Slayer Music should be an NPC.
Yes.
And it should be the only like audio talking NPC. Hi.
Yeah.
And welcome.
Hi,
to
and welcome to my guide.
That would be awesome if we could get like Slayer Music on a podcast.
Oh no.
Oh no?
Carl. Oh, no.
What?
Guest. What?
I got I got a insatiable blood veld.
Oh nice. Uh-oh.
So you better get an imbued heart.
This is my first. This is my first superior that I should be able to kill.
Imbued heart incoming. Yeah, good update though. They need to help out new players for sure. Because I know if I started off, I didn't even know why I continued to play this game back in the day. But if I was a new player, I'd play it and be like so confused and lost as to like what to do. Mm-hmm. I would just stop playing. So, but yeah, probably friends.
Next one is, it's a Mod Matt K savage moment. I don't know if you guys remember the streamer Alicia. I don't think she streams anymore. But one time she was streaming and, you know, the stream is like 90% her camera of her.
Yep. And like 5% RuneScape.
Yeah. And, in Mod Matt K sent her a direct message and it says, hello, can you make your game window smaller? I can't see it. K, thanks.
No, he says, it says, I can still see it.
Yeah. K, thanks.
Yeah, I agree. There shouldn't have been like maybe 2 pixels of RuneScape showing and that's it. Yeah.
Her stream actually used to be pretty funny. Even if
no,
it was
Sam Marino. In the cheddar. Good times.
Next one, I actually kind of thought that this was dumb, but a lot of people liked it. You guys might feel differently. So somebody is, they're essentially saying you should add a telekinetic alchemy spell. So what it does is, it's like telegrab and high-level alchemy in one spell.
Yeah, but what would you use that on?
I don't know, like Mine of Zamrox or something? I'm trying to think, like... the dragon,
anything?
The dragon medium helm and the top of the wizard tower.
Wait, can you actually telegrab that?
I don't know. I don't think that you can telegrab that. I was kind of memeing there.
Okay.
What if they made it so that alchemy spells can target items on the floor? Oh, that would be interesting. I'm guessing maybe this is like to make one less step when you're trying to grab something. Maybe if you're like fighting a monster that's across a river. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's a cool idea. I just don't see it being used.
Why don't they just make it to where... Well, no, that's broken. Never mind.
Where you just pick it up and it automatically out.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but like you'd have to have the... Say, like, what if you could charge up your Ring of Wealth or something with like some rune, with the Alk runes, and then anytime you're wearing your Ring of Wealth and you pick up an item, that's... that's under a certain amount. Like, you could designate, like, oh, if it's under 25K, okay. You know what I'm saying?
You forget that you have that equipped, and you get an Abyssal Whip from Abbey Demons, and you pick it up, and it alks it.
Yeah, it alks it for, like, 10K.
I think they have the knowledge in the game to be like, oh, well, this is considered a valuable item. Would you still like to alk it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
They should add a new spell book in the game that combines spells like that.
Ooh, that would be cool. New quest. Ooh, that could be like an elf quest, you think. Ooh,
yeah.
Slug quest. You get the slug spell book.
The slug spell. You shoot slugs at people.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
Level 99 damage spell.
Well, it's like the Harry Potter spell where they eat slugs.
Eat slugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your player gets on their knees and starts spewing out slugs.
Vomiting slugs. Yeah.
It's like Ice Barrage, but lasts twice as long. It'll be awesome.
What's it called? It's called
Eat slugs.
Slugulus Erupto. I looked it up. It's a slug vomiting curse where they just start vomiting up slugs.
Next meme is, wait, where the fuck my Uber driver taking me?
That be the wieldy boy.
And basically, it just shows a guy driving somebody in rune behind them into the wilderness. Like, it shows them crossing the wilderness ditch. I just, in general, always love these memes, like the memes of somebody getting driven, like, wait, where my Uber driver taking me?
Hey, follow me real quick. I'll show you some money. Get some noob that's in full rune to follow you to the wilderness.
Let's see. Next one is the Pokimane meme. I think that we've all kind of already seen the video.
This is such a good meme, dude. Oh my god.
I don't really care for Pokimane or even like her, but I think that the meme is funny.
Yeah, she's attractive and she seems nice, but I don't know. I don't really watch her.
There's like other reasons that it's not worth getting into in this podcast as to why I don't like her, but
fair enough.
So basically, a bunch of players organize their models into the arrangement of a penis.
On the minimap, yeah.
Yeah, on the minimap. And they're moving seamlessly in line. I almost feel like it's a bot.
It has to be. There's no way it's not.
Yeah, because like, it'd have to be like a bunch of people in a Discord server with like the same exact amount of lag moving in sequence with each other. But it was very impressive. But a lot of them were moving, because I was looking at the ones that were moving, a lot of them were wearing nothing but like a glory, which kind of makes me feel like it might be a bot. but it was like the basic, you know, to noob show Bob, with a glory.
Yeah.
And then moving on into the next segment, which is shitposts. And then I'm going to open up the first one, which is why vote in GE and then that's it. That's just the title of the post.
good title.
All right. And then he says,
very informative.
Did people vote in the bot dumping exchange and then complain about how skilling community was dead? It's like voting in EOC and then complaining that combat's no longer fun.
What?
So I think what he's saying is that like the GE invites bots and people are complaining that skilling is dead when they voted in the GE, which brings in bots. And they're saying that bots voted in the GE poll in 2015.
I mean, he's not necessarily wrong. It's an easy avenue for bots to just dump all the stuff that they've collected before they get banned.
Yep.
I feel like if the GE was never became a thing, though, I would have played like Iron Man style.
Yeah.
Before the actual release of Iron Man.
Sometimes I get upset about the GE being at an end, but sometimes I use the GE and I'm like, thank God it's in.
Mm-hmm.
See, I want to play an Iron Man, but when I get to thinking about not being able to like duo bosses and stuff, like Bandos and all that shit.
That's why group Iron Man is going to be huge.
Yeah.
That's because there's no possible way I am not good enough to solo Bandos, like at a low level. I would have to be maxed. And by the time I was maxed, you know what I mean? Like I'm not that good to be able to solo those God Warps bosses, and that's pretty much a staple with any sort of Iron Man. You have to be able to solo bosses and shit like that. I can't fucking do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's what kind of turns me off of Iron Man.
Well, group Iron Man looks promising. It looks exciting. And I just hope that they get this clan thing rolled out so that we can get into that. Because as soon as that comes out, I'm literally just going to be like wood cutting and mining on my main.
And, yep. Oh, yeah.
And then playing on my group Iron Man like 90% of the time.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun.
Dude, Hans said he'll play when group Iron Man comes out.
Oh, nice. Probably get a lot more people.
Bad thing about group Iron Man is that if you do start a group,
if somebody stops playing.
And people stop playing, then you start to be put at a disadvantage. So
that's true. Maybe you can like kick and add people. That would be nice.
You should be able to add people, but it has to be like a fresh account. That would be better.
Yeah. All right. Moving into the next poll. But quick, before we move into the next, not poll, but form shitpost, if the GE poll was redone today, would you vote it in?
Probably.
You would?
Up
until this whole point, there was no GE.
Probably.
Probably.
It depends. Is Iron Man out at the time?
Like, if Iron Man was out right now, and assuming that the GE had not been up available to this point.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Because like the concept of Iron Man is cool, but I'd still prefer group Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd probably still end up voting the GE in. It comes down to just being able to detect bots before they actually can dump all their supplies.
That's true.
World of Warcraft has an auction house system. Now, one thing I will say though is they could change it to where you have to manually put the your stuff back up every 24 hours or something if it doesn't sell. You know what I'm saying? So
there's a lot less passive money making.
Yep. So like flipping and all that stuff is just fucking dumb. Like they could remove flipping by being like, oh well, since you're selling a high priced item, it can only be up for 12 hours, and then after that you have to repost it.
I kind of disagree. Cool. I like flipping.
Well, I mean, it's just that's how people make money. I understand that, but it's more of like that's why some prices start to get kind of gouged out, where it's like, why the fuck does this cost so much right now? It's because you have like a whole clan of people flipping one fucking item,
and it's studded leather.
Yeah.
No, that's true. There are some times where I'm like, well, there's a lot of issues with the GE where like there's certain players that can just like crash the entire market if they wanted to overnight.
Oh, yeah.
But Moving on to the next one. This one's titled... Actually, I want Joe to read this one. The contact customer support. It's the second ship post.
The second ship post is contact customer support.
Where? I can't find it at all. All the RS website does is stalk you into suggestion fixes. How do you submit a fucking ticket? You don't. You pay $11 to go through Twitter. You pay $11 to make a free Twitter account and then tweet at them about an issue that won't ever get a response. So.
I think the two other responses are really funny. I'll read the next one, which is... yeah, I need to submit a ticket as well. Something happened due to the combat switch with my peer, and it made me level defense when I never selected defense. Oof.
God.
Imagine having, like, a peer.
Feels bad, man.
I think it's sickening that World of Warcraft has millions of players, or at least they used to, and they have a system where if you have an issue, you type it out in a ticket, and they'll have someone come and help you.
Like, in-game, too.
Yep, in-game. They will, yep. I mean, even sometimes they'll log onto your account and fix it for you. I mean, for $11 a month, I mean, I know that's a meme and all, but for $11 a month, they don't even have a number you can call. They used to. They used to have a number you could call. They removed it. So the issue is, I mean, so when it comes down to it, they would probably have better customer service if, like, so say I died to a DC on my hardcore. Instead of going on Twitter and posting about it and having them reply on Twitter so everyone knows I got my hardcore status returned to me, mm-hmm. they could just do it secretly and privately so I don't have to tell nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then that way it's not like this big... thing, like, oh, well, he got it back, so I need to get it back. And then that's why they don't have that type of support. Or that's what happens with their type of support, is you can't have an issue without every fucking body knowing about it.
Yeah.
So
I bet you this guy asking for, like, how to submit a ticket, he probably wasn't even, like, going to submit anything worthwhile, even. It's probably just something stupid.
Yeah.
But the mod's response, I think, is kind of funny. Click support top right. It's all there.
Jesus. Sadly. So there was a time where they would fix the unwanted XP gains, but that window has closed, so they no longer fix it.
I think that's dumb. Like, one, I think the whole system of peers is stupid. I'm not saying, like, if you create a peer, you're stupid. I think that the fact, like, the RuneScape's combat system, for it to work in the way that it does, for you to need to have a peer, I think is stupid. Like, for a level 20 to just be able to decimate a totally different level 20 is ridiculous to me.
They should just add locking XP.
They should definitely add that.
Why I don't like PvP, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Like, they should just add locking XP. They have it in World of Warcraft where once you hit, like, people like to... they call it twinking. I don't know. Whenever you hit level 19, they turn off their XP and they go into PvP and just wreck people because they get, like, the best possible gear they can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an option in World of Warcraft to turn off XP gains. So in this, they should, like, if I wanted to stay at 75 defense, I should be able to just right click it and say lock XP and make it to where I will not gain any sort of defense XP no matter what.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that completely. Cool.
Yeah.
Make life easier for peers. Hashtag.
Should I tweet Ash about that? Should I tweet that?
Except every year on April 1st, for April Fool's Day, they unlock your lock skills.
The only issue I see is that some accounts that, like, people want, like, you shouldn't be able to lock your hit points. You know what I'm saying? Like, some skills should not be able to be locked because then it becomes unfair, but, like, hit points shouldn't be able to be locked, or just, like, locking it in PvP in general. Like, kind of like Iron Man get, where they don't get XP for hitting people in PvP. They should be able to make that an option for everyone.
Yeah, you're right. You don't get XP.
Yep.
It pops up, but it has
a little circle. A little circle.
Yeah, the crossed out mark, yep. Or whatever. I think that that's a system they kind of need to change. I feel like that's a system they need to work or address in their PvP changes. Because, I don't know, the whole concept appears in the way that RuneScape handles it, I feel like is kind of dumb. But, and I'm not saying that the people that make the accounts are dumb. It's obviously a very smart idea to have a peer for PK. All right, moving on into the next shitpost, which is why raid without Infernal Cape.
Oh my god.
Get ready for this one. This one's some serious gatekeeping, and
this
it's
got to be memeing, right?
He's totally not. All right, why do Iron Men try to raid without an Infernal Cape? It's easily attainable in a rune crossbow by the time an Iron Man reaches that stage, as shown by Wreck on his hardcore Iron Man. Blah, 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 blah. I'm mainly wondering this for Iron Man, because they need every little boost they can get due to the game mode being substantially more difficult. Okay, basically this guy is saying that if you're an Iron Man and you go into raids without an Infernal Cape, you suck.
But you can do raids with other people as an Iron Man.
Yep.
What? Well, is this guy dumb?
No, he's just saying you're being inefficient. He brings that up later. So it's easily attainable in a rune crossbow.
Easily.
It's easily
attainable. I bet you he doesn't have an Infernal Cape with just a rune crossbow. I bet you he doesn't.
And then the next response is, for the average player who is new to the Iron Man mode, no it isn't. Not everyone is on Lux's level.
True.
I believe efficient Iron Men do, but inefficient only Iron Men obviously do not get the cape first.
Yeah, if you're not efficient, you don't have it.
Next person, did this guy just try to say getting Infernal Cape is easy? I mean, getting the Infernal Cape already, like, on its own, on, like, a main account, is already, like, a fairly difficult thing to do, but, like, to get it on an Iron Man only using a rune crossbow. Is absurd to me. Okay, well, basically, if you're not as good as Wooks, why are you in raids?
Why are you even playing the game?
Why are you even playing the game? Alright. I guess we'll move into the after show. It's mostly sad. No iTunes review, no emails, but well, actually, I did see we got an iTunes review, but not a real, like, our number went up by 2. It was basically, we got 2 more 5 stars, but they didn't write anything in, so, gotcha. It's like a silent, I don't know, it's like our silent superhero. It's our guy working in the background giving us a 5-star, and not commenting, because he doesn't care about being read on the show, so, good on them.
Yep. I respect.
And then, so no emails. And then on our Discord, we had 2 people join. We had, so Joe's getting Omar tattooed on his leg armpit.
Yup.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I'll get one of them tattooed on my leg armpit. Yeah. My arm leg pit.
I'll get it tattooed on Joe's armpit.
Yep. So welcome, Omar, to the Discord. You haven't been on since you joined, but
probably could be better things to do.
Yeah, he's probably got a life and kids.
I was gonna say you might have a life, but unfortunately I don't, so
yeah. And that's why you're getting more, I expect more out of my fans.
Shut up, please. And then we had another guy join, name I'm a noob 009,
who I talked with for a bit.
He's been interacting with us in game. He's new to old school, so welcome to the community, our little small 2-man community. So
yeah, and then you join, we'll read your name out on the show too, and then we have a Q&A chat inside the Discord, so you can ask us questions. And then I think that there's even talks of us doing kind of like a monthly like Q&A episode, so it wouldn't be like a normal episode, it'd just be all Q&A from our fans. But that we kind of have to have enough fans to get enough questions.
Our fans, plural.
I have a question we can leave for people to comment if they choose to.
Okay, what is it?
Who is everybody's favorite old school RuneScape streamer?
Oh, let me think. My favorite old school RuneScape streamer is Ice Poseidon.
No.
Yes. I'm kidding. So, I'm kidding. Before somebody rages at me.
So actually, that's actually a good question for us right now, though, too.
Yeah.
So when you watch a RuneScape stream, if you do, because I do sometimes when I'm laying in bed, mm-hmm. who do you usually watch?
I don't really watch anybody stream. I watch YouTube, and my favorite right now is Statistically Challenged.
Oh, okay.
He has the Iron Man Wilderness, the Wilderness Only Iron Man. And he makes a ton of videos where he's like, I have 1 hour to make as much money, and I'm starting with 1 GP or something like that, or 0 GP. And so he'll go and like pick up an item, you know, that's sitting on the ground, and then like use that, sell that at the general store for money, buy stuff at the general store, sell it at the GE for even more money, and then like do crazy stuff with that money for an hour, and then he makes like a mil or something ridiculous like that.
Hell yeah.
So
that's pretty cool.
What about you, Carl? Who's your favorite streamer?
My favorite streamer is Foe, because he was in the army and so was I. So we're, you know, we're basically the same person.
You mean Fox?
True.
Yeah.
Nah. He's like my idol.
I think if you'd asked me like 10 years ago who my favorite RuneScape streamer, it would again be a YouTuber, and it probably would have been Nightmare RH.
Yeah, same.
I used to watch
Hubba 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 Hubba.
Oh my fucking god.
I used to watch the crap out of him. His videos are unbearable now, but whenever
I was
younger,
back in the day, they were so funny.
Yeah.
They were next level, dude.
Back when I was like in middle school and I don't know, some of high school, it was pretty, I loved him.
Yeah.
So I watched this guy, and I've been kind of watching. I have two people actually that I watch. So there's a guy named Lucid Dream that I watch.
Oh yeah, I see. Yeah,
and he basically has the if there was a leaderboard for raid completions, he would be number one. He has like over like I think it's like 3,600 Theater of Blood kills.
Oof. That's a
and
lot.
He's got like, I think he, I have to check, but it's somewhere upwards of like 6,000 to 7,000 Ulm kills.
Dang.
Yep. So he's got, I mean, he's fun to watch because he basically his entire stream is just him doing raids.
Does he have every item in both of those?
He's gotten every item as a drop, yes.
Okay. I was about to say, if he didn't, that's unfortunate.
I think for Theater of Blood, he's gotten 5 scythes.
Whew.
So
bank.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think he showed his bank value last night. It was like $5 billion.
Jeez.
So yeah, I watch him. He's a very small streamer. He's pretty cool. Oh god, there's 3 streamers I watch. Oh god. So I watch this guy named Noobble Dooble. He's a YouTuber who streams, but he has an Iron Man series, just you know, basic regular Iron Man series. He's pretty funny to watch. And he actually makes like pretty decent progress every 2 weeks or so on his account. And then the other one that I think Carl knows too, it's a guy
Mr. No Sleeps.
Rigandu.
Oh, Rigandu, yeah.
He's going for 200 mil Slayer. I think he's sitting at like 164 million Slayer. And he pretty much just hops on, streams, and basically just slays the entire time.
Yeah, he seems like a chill dude.
Yeah. But as a listener, if you feel like leaving a comment or you do watch RuneScape streams, let us know what your favorite streamer is or YouTuber, I guess. We can do YouTuber as well. And tell us why you enjoy watching them. So that'd be cool. So we have some content for next week so we can talk about it.
I guess I do like Colinello. I don't know if you know him. He makes a lot of YouTube videos, but I do watch his... he streams on YouTube, not Twitch. I do watch his YouTube stream. He's like a very calm, like skilling kind of streamer. He makes like these really well-edited videos where he talks about like stuff about RuneScape's past. Like the first... Like he talks about a topic like the first bot and stuff like that. He's
the
really
first
cool.
bot.
Like, he talks more, like, history about the game and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yep. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. What's going on, guys? Theoatrix here.
He creates these guides. A lot of his guides are kind of shit, honestly.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
But the videos are very well edited. He's got a nice voice, and he talks like he knows what he's talking about.
He's like the Belluar of RuneScape.
A lot of it, like, half his guides are really good, and then the other half are like he created them by using the wiki page and didn't really do a whole lot of research himself. But he put out a Slayer guide recently that was pretty good. I mean, it was like a Slayer guide where somebody who I think had who's like in the top 10 of the leaderboard basically gave him all the information and he edited it into a video, which is really how it should be done. Not like him reading the wiki page and doing it. Anybody else got any YouTubers they like?
Mr. No Sleep.
Oh, Mr. No Sleep's good.
He's got some good videos. He puts a lot of time and effort into those videos.
So much time.
So I respect that. I mean, there will never be a time where I'm like, maybe I should go kill 5,000 dragons. You know,
5,000 goblins.
Man, like, I salute him for taking the bullet and doing it for us. So,
yeah.
I mean, Mr. No Sleep's pretty good though. Yep. What about what's his name? Oh fuck, that one guy that had all that drama with his girlfriend, and then he moved.
Oh, you're talking about a friend?
A friend. What's going on, guys? A friend here. Hell yeah!
Yeah, he's been like banned multiple times. He's a little sketch, honestly.
Oh, ooh, there is a guy. Okay, there is a guy. It's a very small channel. His name is, I don't know if you guys have seen it. His name is like, it's like Wiley Bankloot. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
He basically is making a series where he's botting to max.
What?
Yep. And so obviously he's fucked up several times where like he's accidentally leaked his username and he's gotten banned almost instantly because I guess Jagex watches his account. But he does this thing where he'll bot. And he'll set it to like take breaks and all this stuff. But his name is Wiley Bankloot, and he'll make one video every couple of weeks. Maybe I think the longest time he was like 3 or 4 months, but it's also another really small YouTuber that just makes some like fun content to watch. Not necessarily good for the game content. I'm not saying body is good, but
it's definitely interesting.
It's fun content to watch. Yeah. So.
That feeling when you get 6 hours, that just happened to me.
Oof.
Yeah. Because I was logged in for 6 hours straight. That's how you know I don't have a life.
Yikes.
Well, actually, I do have a life. You know what it is? It's called RuneScape.
It's called waking up and breathing.
It's called my friends.
My friends.
Is that it? We can move on to our one comment that we had on YouTube of nice.
Quick, Discord link in the description. If you want to be heard on the show, you can leave us a 5-star iTunes review and we'll read it. You can also send us an email and we'll read YouTube comments, which is what we're about to do. And we'll also read comments on the Google Podcast page. I don't think that there's a comment section on the Google Podcast page or the Spotify page. But that's also another thing. We recently got approved on Spotify, so we're like one of two podcasts on there. And the other one isn't putting updates, so we're kind of a monopoly there. So that's pretty good.
Nice. Yes.
Moving on to number five, someone named 99 Slayer on our YouTube video.
I wonder if he has 99 Slayer.
Yeah, I wonder too. He commented, nice. So... nice to you, buddy. I give you the nice hand gesture.
Yep.
It's like where you're doing that, like, okay symbol, like, nice.
Nice, dude.
All right.
So he's a small YouTuber.
Yeah, he is. He has something like 900 subscribers. I watched it. Yeah, he's got he's got a good channel. Look, I'll subscribe to him right now.
I'm subscribing to that guy right now.
Yeah, I'll subscribe to him right now.
So look at that. We're supporting other small content creators. Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
I'm local.
You guys got any final words? I know Carl's going to say happy scraping, but...
Well, you know, get to me last. I might say something non-retarded.
You got any final words, Joe? Any words of wisdom?
Hey, look, if you're going to play RuneScape and poop, make sure you wipe with the hand that doesn't have your phone in it.
You can wipe with the phone.
Facts, my guy.
Whoops.
Oops, forgot that was there.
Yikes. You could actually use the phone. Like, put paper tissue, toilet paper, whatever you want to call it, around your phone, and then use that to, like,
Did you say paper towel and then paper tissue, but not fucking once mentioned toilet paper?
No, no. They can listen to it. I said toilet paper third.
You're gonna edit toilet paper and then you're gonna toilet paper.
I'll make it sound so unnatural. It's gonna be
like a different like tone of voice, dude.
Dude, like a voice, or a
text to speech. Do it.
Nothing toilet paper. Nothing bleeped this podcast either.
I can give you something.
Dude, you're not allowed to say that in public.
Sorry.
All right.
Dude, that's even worse.
I'm not gonna bleep that. I'm not gonna waste my time bleeping that.
No.
No, dude, they're gonna hear it.
Carl, what's your final words? Let's hear what's your wisdom. You had a quick tip?
No.
Slayer's best skill.
Yep. Slayer. Just play the game. Play the game how you want. Don't let other people tell you how to play the game. If you don't want to play efficiently, then that's fine. I respect that.
If you're not playing with max efficiency, you shouldn't play the game at all.
If you want to listen to Nick, then yeah, take his advice. But
if you're a member and you're wanting to level up your combat stats, do Slayer. That's something you'll hear from everybody. Do it. It's
100%.
It's decent money. And it's more... Well, we don't want to talk about efficiency, right? But eventually, if you want to max, you're going to want to hit new Slayer. And if you already have all 99 attack, strength, and defense or other combat skills, you pretty much wasted time because then you're going to have to go back and train those whilst training Slayer. So,
but you know, if you're Nick, then the ideal method to train combat is Nightmare Zone.
Yeah, and not playing that game at all.
And not playing, just AFK the whole time.
Yeah, just be at work, pick your phone up, hit the absorption potion, and then set your phone back down.
For 20 minutes.
Yeah, for 20 minutes.
You're fucking stupid!